I am so glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Well, there's Brother Jake. Brother Jake, praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're coming out to the revival. I hope you get blessed as much as we've been blessed. The Spirit of God's been moving mightily. Great and mighty things have been happening. God's been taking us deeper into the river. You can get whatever you want to get this morning. If you just want a drip, you get a drip. If you want to get drowned in the river, you can get drowned in the river. You know, it's up to you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, you never have enough of God. Never. Absolutely never. Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory. I look out upon your people, Father, and I see hungry faces. I see your children, Father God, that want to come and sit at your table. I'm asking you this morning, Father God, to do something special for each one of them. I want you to fill every need, Father. Restore the years that the palmer and cankerworm have stolen from them. And Father God, let your miracle working powers work through them this morning. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been pretty loose and footloose and fancy free here, but I feel a seriousness in the air this morning. The atmosphere is full of seriousness. So we'll just see what God's going to do today. Amen. All right, this morning I'm going to teach about the supernatural reign of righteousness. The Bible standard of human righteousness is God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. The Bible standard of human righteousness is God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. Therefore, God's laws, as given in the Bible, both describe his own character and constitute the plumb line by which he measures human righteousness. We have to live by that. We have to become righteous. The Bible describes a righteous person as just or right, holding to God and trusting in him. And at home you can read Psalm 33:18-22. The Bible describes a righteous person as just or right, holding to God and trusting in him. The reign of righteousness is the Spirit of God poured out on your life, according to Psalm 45:7. It says, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." So the reign of righteousness is the Spirit of God poured out on your life. All right. The bad news is that true and perfect righteousness is not possible for man to attain on his own. The standard is simply too high. The good news is that true righteousness is possible for mankind, but only through the cleansing of sin by Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All right, we have no ability to achieve righteousness in and of ourselves. Now, I want you really to grasp hold of this morning, because this is another tool that we need to grab hold of so God can use your vessel to pour all of his glory into. He's been giving us each service. He gives us a different tool to cleanse us and to bring us to the place that he would have us to be, so he can drop his glory and use us for his glory. But Christians possess the righteousness of Christ because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is an amazing truth. On the cross, Jesus exchanged our sin for his perfect righteousness. so that we can one day stand before God and he will see not our sin, but the holy righteousness of the Lord Jesus. This means that we are made righteous in the sight of God. That is, that we are accepted as righteous and treated as righteous by God on account of what the Lord Jesus has done. Are you getting this? He was made sin. Jesus was made sin. We are made righteousness. On the cross, Jesus was treated as if he were a sinner, though he was perfectly holy and pure. And we are treated as if we were righteous, though we are defiled and depraved. A brother one time said that with God, we do so little and he reciprocates with so much. Amen. Let's say that again. With God, we do so little and he reciprocates with so much. And this is true. Jesus said, give and it shall be given. Ask and you will receive more than you can imagine. This morning, the reign of righteousness is here in this building because God is raining down righteousness. God wants us to learn about righteousness so he can fill us full of his righteousness so that we will no longer be vessels that carry a sin nature, but we will be vessels that carry the righteousness of God. And everywhere you go, the demons have to bow. Amen. God wants you to overflow in righteousness. In Hosea 10, 12, 13, the prophet said that it was time for Israel to sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he can come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye shall reap iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Now, the rain Israel wanted was a function of their sowing. They determined the kind of rain that they wanted. All right? Though it was not in their power to rain righteousness upon themselves, their part was to sow in righteousness, which means work at getting rid of all sin in their lives. That's what sowing in righteousness means. The Lord was committed to do the rest. You do your part, then God does his part, which is about three quarters. Amen. If you are ready for the reign of righteousness, begin to sow. Start eliminating sin in your life. Begin to break up the fallow ground. Begin to believe the Lord. Let's read that statement again. If you are ready for the reign of righteousness, which God is going to drop here this morning, Begin to sow. Start eliminating sin in your life. Begin to break up the fallow ground. Begin to believe the Lord. This reign of righteousness will make your life highly desirable. You will be distinguished by this reign. Everyone will know and see a great change that has come over you. What is the use of this reign? Is it important? Let's check out from the scriptures. When you start working on your sin nature and you start walking in righteousness, people are going to notice that there's something different about you. They're going to see that you're not the same old person they knew even a month ago. They're going to see that there's just something so totally different about you that they're going to want what you have. See, until you work on righteousness, they don't want what you have because they already have it. But once you start working on the sin nature and getting the sin nature out of you, and then you will start walking differently. You'll start talking differently. That's what people are going to want. When God sends a sinner into the house of God, a sinner doesn't want to see sinners sitting in the house of God. They want to see light. They want to see purity. They want to see righteousness. And then that's what gives them hope that they too can become the righteous of Jesus Christ. We see too much sin ruling and reigning in the house of God. And that's why the house of God is not full. In Isaiah 54, 14 and 15, it says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. See that? Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather against thee shall fall for thy sake. You wonder why the devil keeps fighting you? Let's read that again. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather against thee shall fall for thy sake. God rains righteousness upon us for a purpose. It is to establish his children. When people look at us, they'll say, they belong to God. Amen. Because they'll see the righteousness of God on us. This supernatural rain comes to you so that you take root. As plants respond to water, so we respond to this supernatural rain of righteousness. As trees push their roots deeper, we too do the same in God's kingdom. You know, I look at you, I watch you guys, and I can see you from the first day you came until now, and I can see where you just shine more and more and more and more. I see more and more of the glory of the Lord on you because you're getting rid of all the sin nature and you're becoming the righteous of Jesus Christ. No wonder the Lord Jesus became sin for us that we might become the righteous of God. In Jesus Christ, therefore, we are the beneficiaries of all that he is. When we became sin and we became the righteous, when he became sin and we became the righteous of God, that's when the rain began. Amen. Oh, red stars. We need this rain, guys. All right, go ahead and say it. Lord. Say it again. Did you feel that? The reign of righteousness is for your establishment. It's for your security. It's a covering over your life, your money, and your family. This reign, when it comes, it establishes so that no devil can move you. This rain, when it comes, it establishes so that no devil can move you. You can't be demoted when the rain has come down upon your life. Amen. You cannot be demoted when this rain has come down upon your life. This rain of righteousness establishes your heritage. This rain of righteousness establishes your heritage. We need to go for this rain. It's worth sweating for. It's worth toiling for. Don't let anything hinder you from it. This rain of righteousness pushes you and oppression far apart. Amen. You become a stranger to oppression. Oppression is the operation of the devil. Whatever has to do with terror is not our portion. All those at your place of work or in your family who gather against you cannot stand to fight you. All shall fall for your sake. Jesus, who became sin that you might become his righteousness, is always around to ensure your establishment. In Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When this rain falls, righteousness takes control of every oppression of the devil. It commands poverty to bow down. Sickness looks for a way of escape. This rain broods such unique confidence. No fear can cross your mind. Your life is in a class of its own. Terror becomes history. Terror cannot come near you. Even if you call it, terror will just flee. Whoever gathers together against you must fall for your sake. It must be so, because righteousness has established you. And yet terror inhabits most of the camps of the heathen, doesn't it? Whether they are rich or not, terror terrorizes them all alike. The fear of death is always in their eyes. Now, I said, welcome this kind of rain today in your life. I don't mean about to tear. I mean the rain of righteousness. Amen. Welcome that into your life today, because today is the day that God wants to establish you with righteousness. You cannot be demoted or detrenched because you believe in this reign of righteousness. I am the righteous of Jesus Christ, period, devil. Amen. And you need to get down in your spirit, and then he will not be able to come and steal from you any longer. Remember Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. They conspired against him, right? And they succeeded as far as casting him in the den of lions is concerned. But the reign of righteousness increased and the tide turned and Daniel emerged a winner. And those who conspired against Daniel became the lion's feast. Amen. See, you know, this is what God wants us to get in our spirit this morning. We are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us, it's going to turn around and hit him right in the face. You know, it can't touch us. Instead, it'll go back to the sender. But see, we fret and carry on. So, and we just said terror, fear is no part of us because we are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But this is our time. When the Lord is preparing his bride, the church, to let it rain righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, I've tried to get this together to do yesterday, and God wouldn't let me. So, you know, this is the day he wants it done. This is the day. The reign of righteousness is to clothe you with such beauty that no devil can accuse you. But this time, every wrinkle, but this time, every wrinkle and blemish will disappear. Oh, there's the little stars again. Let's welcome the reign of righteousness in your life today. Right now, welcome the reign of righteousness in your life. Welcome it in. Welcome it in. Just welcome it in. Come on, welcome it in. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Welcome it in right now. Sit, receive it. In Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation. In Proverbs 12:12, it says, for the throne is established by righteousness. Let the reign of righteousness fall on us and our nation as a whole. We need to gather some seats together. Oh, Chris is taking care of that. Let the reign of righteousness bring exaltation. We need to understand that nations like America didn't just wake up in great glory. We are not going to just wake up in great glory. God has been through this revival. Well, he's been doing all along, but he's been going, taking us really deep during this revival. He's getting us prepared for the glory, and he's doing all these wonderful things within us. All right, I said, we need to understand that nations like America didn't just wake up in great glory. No, they asked for the reign of righteousness. Righteousness had to fall on a nation if it will be great. It has to fall on a nation if it will be great. And God calls us nations, right? So righteousness has to fall on us individually if we're going to be great in the kingdom of God. Every nation has a throne. Every throne can only be established by righteousness. The scripture refers to us as kings and priests, right? You are kings and priests of God, so you need the reign of righteousness for your thrones to be established. All right, you know, a church could be a throne. If you aren't walking in righteousness, your church isn't going to thrive. It's going to fall eventually. To be established is to be placed. It's to be planted firmly in the kingdom of God. Righteousness establishes us, and to be established means to be placed. It's to be planted firmly in the kingdom of God. We should be planted firmly in the kingdom of God, and no devil in hell, no circumstance should be able to uproot us. It shouldn't be able to move us. The wind, when it comes, should not be able to waver us in any way, shape, or form, because we're so firmly rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. You cannot afford getting saved today and tomorrow you're off into something else. You can't afford to do that. Your life is too precious to be lost into a cult. You need to be established. In Ephesians 4:14, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If you belong to Jesus Christ and his righteousness, then the world should have no sway on you. You should not be acting worldly. This is possible when and only when you have opened up to this plan of righteousness. All right, let me read what Ephesians 4:14 says again. That we henceforth be no more children tossed by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is possible when, all right, and only when you have opened up to this plan of righteousness and God is releasing his plan by a measure of floods. Come on. Now, someone could be wondering, what is this rain like? What is the rain of righteousness? The answer is the rain of righteousness is the Spirit of God poured out in your life according to Psalm 45:7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That's the rain of righteousness. Amen. See, and we need to grab this morning, and we need to hold it tightly to our bosom, because this righteousness is what's going to take you through the rest of your life, and it's what's going to bring signs, wonders, and miracles to the world so that the world will want what you have. And this righteousness is what's going to make your light shine in a dark, dark world and smash that darkness to pieces. It's the righteousness in you that brings your light. All right, so then the rain of righteousness, it's the oil of gladness. It is the Holy Spirit. The rain of righteousness is the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon your life to effect righteousness in your life. See, it's so important to be walking in the Spirit. It's so important to be baptized in the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. You can't do this thing without the Holy Spirit. I don't care who tells you you cannot do this thing without the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 11:2, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, if you look at these words, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord, you discover that all these lead you to righteousness. The reign of righteousness is the Spirit of God carrying with him all these valuable tools of the kingdom of God. You should yearn for this reign. This reign is the person of the Holy Spirit coming upon your life according to John 16:12. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. Here we see this reign is for guidance then. To guide you into all truth, not lies and traps, but with all truth. In your home, truth has to reign. In your finances, the truth is the key. These days, the heathens have become more wicked. You get in trouble trying to seek out who is who. So you have to have really a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, a lot of understanding. People can deceive you so easily. You know, they come in and they have this sweet little face, and underneath they're roaring lions. All right, I said, these days the heathen have become more wicked. You get in trouble trying to seek out who is who. They are all wicked. The good news is that with this reign of righteousness, your guidance is ensured. No mistakes are allowed. The Holy Spirit's going to show you what a person's all about. One thing you should constantly say is, God, when you're talking to me, let me see the truth of who this person really is on the inside, not what they're showing me on the outside. You can now clearly see why God wants to flood your life with the rain of righteousness. What is its gain? By now we understand that the rain of righteousness is the Spirit of God poured out on your life to effect righteousness in your life. That's what this is all about. Now the final question is, how do I gain access to this rain? First of all, you must be born again. Until you are born again, you remain a sinner. Jesus died that you get saved so that you get born again. Well, I go to church. I've gone to church all my life. I did too, but I still wasn't born again. Amen. And then whenever time came, God led me down that path to get born again. I was a different person from that day on. I walked under the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So until you accept the death and resurrection of Jesus as a day to salvation, righteousness remains a story. Therefore, whoever is born again qualifies for these reigns. So if you're sitting in here and you're not born again, well, then you don't qualify for these reigns this morning. Right? So whoever you are, God is no respecter of persons. Get set for these reigns this morning. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness." In other words, begin to be conscious of everything you do. Are you listening? Is what you are sowing righteousness? Are you sure you are doing the righteousness of Jesus? In 1 John 3:7 it says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, Christ, is righteous." So sowing is doing things just as Jesus did them, or we could say as the Word commands us to. There's no gray area. We either are the righteous of Jesus Christ or we're not. And if we're the righteous of Jesus Christ, then we have to let go of sin. We have to start changing our lifestyle. We should have been doing that a long. You should have been doing that from the first day you became born again. Are you doing the right thing in your home? Do you beat your wife? Are you faithful to your wife? Do you beat your children mercilessly? Because whenever you do so, a wide door opens up for unrighteousness. What about in your finances? Do you pay your tithes? Do you preach the goodness of the kingdom? Are you a faithful person? Now that's what it means to sow in righteousness. Begin sowing in righteousness. So many sow in lies. They sow in unbelief. That's why they are kept out. No matter the title you carry, God respects only those who are righteous. In Hosea 10:12, "Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to see the Lord, till he come and reign righteous upon you." So many think that seeking the Lord is trying to find out where he has hidden. God never hides for the people to search for him and find him. Look at that scripture again. It says, "Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." So we seek the Lord by breaking our fallow grounds, by enlarging our capacities, by stretching forth our sights, by accommodating more of what we didn't have of him. By breaking up the fallow ground, it means to break our religious beliefs and routines, to break into God's new things. Religion has, God told us quite a few years ago, religion is dead. It has no place in this end time hour. It is spirit calling unto spirit. And if you're still walking in religion, then you haven't broken up your fallow ground. You have to get rid of that religious mindset. And I am surprised how many older people in Christ do not want to get rid of the religious mindset. They hold on to that thing for dear life. And it's killing them spiritually. Now on the practical side, breaking up fallow ground, it's searching out in scriptures for truth. It's waiting on him in prayer according to the truth we have discovered from the Word and God. Fasting is good while you're on your personal search for this righteousness of Jesus Christ. In other words, seeking the Lord is your personal effort on your part to put things in order. You have to do it. We can't do it for you. To fight off those sins which easily entangle you. In Isaiah 58:6 it says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free, and that he break every yoke?" And verse 8 says, "And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." See, everybody wants somebody else to do the work for your salvation. You have to work out your own salvation. You have to seek God for yourself. Somebody else can't seek God for you. why would you want to ride on somebody else's coattail? You might have more, God might have more in store for you than the person's coattail you're hanging on to. So you need to seek God. You need to listen for His voice. You need to be in tune to the Holy Spirit. You need to be led by God 24 hours a day. Don't be led by a person. You need to be the one to sit in the presence of God. You need to be the one to hear God's voice for yourself. The prophetic is wonderful and it's great, but God wants every one of His children to hear His voice for themselves. And He's not going to make a great big furnace fire and set the world on fire. He's going to come to you in a still, small voice. I remember one time He said, I'm going to start whispering to you. In other words, you're going to have to listen very carefully, more carefully than you have before, if you're going to hear My voice. You're going to get rid of the clutter in your ears and start listening to what God has to say. Through fasting, the rain of righteousness is provoked, and God will promptly shower it on us. Life can be so miserable without it, without righteousness. Righteousness will go before you, and you will enjoy the presence of God. I am believing God for each and every one of you here this morning that God's just going to rain His righteousness down on you so strong and so mighty that your life is going to be totally and completely changed. I am believing God for you that He will be faithful as He said. Try it today. Try this rain of righteousness. Begin to walk and talk righteously. You might have to change friends. Remember, they never died on the cross for you. When you become born again, you're going to have to change your friends. That's just a given. Because if not, they're going to pull you, drag you right back down into the hole you crawled out of. You know, somebody said, well, I go to church and I wouldn't lose my God for anything. And while they're saying that, they have so many cuss words in there, you don't know who they are. You know, if you live for God, then you need to quit your cussing. And if you're living for God, the righteousness of God, then you need to quit looking at pornography. You know, if you're living for God, then you need to quit sleeping around with everybody in town. All right? You know, I talked to somebody and they said, oh, we go to church every Sunday. We just love the Lord with all of our heart. But yet they're living together. Well, if you love God so much and you're going to make heaven your home, you can't do that just living with this woman. If you was willing to have children with her, then why aren't you willing to give her your name? And why aren't you willing to get her out of sin? It's nothing wrong with us living together. Yes, it is. The Bible says so. But you know how many people are deceived into thinking they can continue to sin and still go to heaven? Well, I do a lot of work in the church. I don't care how much work you do in the church. You're not going to go to heaven, just period. You're just not going to go to heaven. Well, they don't want to talk to me anymore because they don't believe that. I feel sorry for any pastor that has people in their church and they keep making them believe that they can do all that sin nature and still go to heaven. And all that pastor is wanting is the tithing and the work. But it's not about that. It's about souls. And you have to tell people the truth. Because I'm going to tell you, one day when you stand before God, He's going to say, why didn't you tell Brother Jim the truth about what he was doing? You're going to be held accountable for those souls that went to hell that God put across your path. Amen? Come on. Begin to cry out to God, thirsting for it. We're talking about righteousness. God will send it. This rain of righteousness saved people like Noah, a man who lived amidst a wicked generation, but he was righteous. Well, you know, it's really hard to live in this world. There's so much sin out there. No, it's not. The reason why it's hard is because you have not yet got converted. God said, Genesis 7:16, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Talking about Noah. You can also survive the wickedness that prevails today. You can please God living righteously. Righteousness delivered Lot also. You know how many times I've read that about Sodom and Gomorrah and I never realized there God called him righteous. I just didn't. Sodom and Gomorrah were burnt to ashes, but Lot was found righteous. I said, no, that's wrong. No, it's not wrong. In 2 Peter 2:4 it says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, It did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, there's righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. All right, you guys that are righteous, and you're upset with the sin in the world, you're the same as Lot was. You're righteous. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in your life, and you're living a good life, but yet you have to live among an ungodly people. It really does mess your soul up. And I don't know about you, but I get angry at people who keep sinning over and over and over again, as they said in the house of God. When God makes a way of escape. Amen? Come on, guys. If we're going to call ourselves children of God, then let's live like children of God. Let's live the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Today you are entering a new realm. Operating in righteousness no matter what. It's your new realm. Like Noah, like Lot, like Elijah, like Enoch, your life will be precious before the Lord. Wouldn't it be so wonderful if we were so precious, he just whoop, whoosh his way right up on it into heaven. Our business is to talk right, walk right, and live right. You listen to that. Our business is to talk right, walk right, and live right. Today is our day to receive all the righteousness that Jesus died for. Today, not tomorrow, not tonight, because the night service is different. Right now, this morning, is when God's going to do that. You can change. The reign of righteousness is hanging a few centimeters above your heart. Just let it be. Become a preacher of righteousness, a man with a righteous soul, and may God help us as we do. You do not have to live in sin. I don't care how sinful the world gets. Are you going to go to hell with the world? You know, if you're sitting in the house of God year after year after year after year after year and keep sinning, you're wasting your time. Because sitting in the house of God and sinning is not going to take you to heaven. God expects you to change. Somewhere along the line, he wants a change in your life. Here comes the reign of righteousness. This reign is what made Jesus so powerful. That's why the church has no power. We are not living in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We still have a sin nature. It was not the anointing. The anointing was for doing God's work, but righteousness strengthened him. You hear that? I don't care how anointed you are. You can still go to hell and lay hands on the sick and see him recover. Let's use the example of Samson. He was heavily anointed and died in the laps of a woman. But righteousness was what Jesus drew his strength from. In 1 Peter 2:22, it says about Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And then Jesus said about the devil in John 14:30, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You know, when Katie Sozo brought that out, that really hit me hard. Because every one of us should be walking so pure and holy before the Lord that the enemy has nothing in us. He can't come and attack us. He might be able to attack us, but he can't touch us. The attack won't penetrate this vessel. And if Jesus said, which he did say, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, there was no sin inside of Jesus, and we claim to be just like Jesus, we claim to be the sons of God, then how come Satan has something in us? How come there's sin within us? This is time you all take account of your own lives. Where am I at in my walk with God? I tell you that over and over and over again, but every day you need to check yourself. Where am I at in my walk with God? Are you listening? I can't be living for God and have some devil's property. You hear me? So it is with you. Today, make up your mind to live a consecrated life, a life apart just for God. Are you hearing me here? Today, make up your mind to live a consecrated life, a life apart just for God. Now, if you came in here a sinner, and claim to be born again and still a sinner, don't let condemnation destroy you. You need to say, oops, I didn't realize I was doing wrong. So, Father God, from this point on, I'm going to start doing right, totally right. I'm not going to let the sin nature dwell within me. I'm going to get rid of all the sin in my life. And I'm going to walk upright before you because I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in me to give me the power and authority to do that and then start walking that way. You can't just say those nice things and not do them. You have to do them in order for them to work. Where in the Bible does it tell you that you can go live with somebody and not get married and still be a Christian? I can't find that anywhere in my Bible, any Bible I have. And where in your Bible does it say that you don't have to be holy? Because my Bible says, be ye holy as Christ is holy. But yet the body of Christ sits in the house of God, service after service after service, unholy. Where does this all come from? It comes from the very pits of hell. It comes from leaders who aren't living right themselves, and so therefore they don't address the point of sin. They just let their people go ahead and do what they want to do. And they just go on. But one day they're going to stand before their Maker. And they're going to be held accountable for every soul that died and went to hell that sat under their ministry. Now, we are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to be held accountable for those that God placed in your path that you did not bring to Christ. I mean, well, not bring to Christ, but you didn't give an example of Jesus Christ to them to make them want to go to Christ. If you call yourself a Christian, you shouldn't be cussing and carrying on. You just shouldn't be. Well, everybody does. I don't care if everybody does it. You're not everybody. You're supposedly, first of all, a child of God, walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, and that ugly word they use all the time. Somebody says, it's in the dictionary. I don't care if it's in the dictionary or not. That does not make it right. You know, it doesn't. You know, people, when they want to sin, they'll use all kind of excuses to back up why they sin, to make it look good. I want you this morning to vow to yourself, or make a covenant with God, really, and tell God, God, I am so sorry I lived in sin. But from this moment on, I'm going to work really super hard at getting totally out of sin and get totally and completely cleansed so I can be a good example of what Jesus was like. My grandson said to me the other day, Gabriel said to me, Mom, you get angry a lot. Are you still going to go to heaven? I said, I really don't know. And he said, I want you to go to hell. I said, well, I really don't know. But I was sitting at the computer at 3 o'clock this morning studying, and God's daughter, he said, there's a righteous anger. And you dwell among the devils in this house. And you're angry at the sin that goes on in here. You're still my daughter, and you're still going to come to heaven with me one day. Amen. But I didn't know. I've been saying, God, please take this anger from me. And so when Gabriel asked me, I was honest. I don't know. I just don't know. So each one of us in here, now don't be angry all the time. Say, well, it's a righteous anger now. Get out of here. You know. You know when you're just flat ignorant angry. And you know when it's righteous anger. Amen. So let's do things right. Let's quit making excuses for our sin nature. I don't make any excuses for anything I do that I know that's not godly. I say, God, please forgive me. Clean this stupid vessel up. And you know, I'm going to tell you right now, guys, you young kids that are coming into the church, in the kingdom of God, The younger people have been out there in the world and know it's messed up. They know what the devil can do to them. So when they come into the house of God and really do give their heart to God, they're going to turn around and tear the devil's kingdom down. And they're going to be the ones that God is going to use to bring in the souls in this end time. Now, with us older people, like, I never cussed, never did anything. I just didn't. And now to live in this world and you know, to be angry. I was never an angry person at all. And so living among all the sin that's in my home really vexes my soul. And I get so upset. God, you said you were cleaning my house up. Please do it quickly. So, but in the meantime, I have to keep my strength. I have to keep my wisdom. I have to have knowledge. I have to keep going with God no matter what's going on around about me. I have to place my eyes on the sin around about me. I have to keep my eyes upon Jesus Christ, and I can't lose my own salvation. Because God told me one time, daughter, you can lose your salvation any given second. You have to work out your own salvation every second of every day. So don't make excuses if you're doing sin, that, you know, if you're just doing willfully sinning. You're going to lose your salvation. Today is the day that God wants to rain righteousness down upon you. Today is the day He wants to set you free from this bondage of sin that you've been in. Now, are you willing to allow God's reign of righteousness to come into your life and totally cleanse you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet? Are you really ready to say no to sin and say, sin, I'm not going to bow my knee to you any longer? I want to serve the Lord God with all my heart, body, soul, mind, spirit. I want to give myself totally and completely to the Father. You know, if you will do that, you will find out you're going to be the happiest person in the world. And when Satan comes at you, it's not going to tear you down. You're going to laugh in his face and say, you can't do anything to me. Well, I shouldn't say that. You can't kill me, Satan. I held it up before the Lord just last night. I said, God, you said you weren't going to let Satan kill them. Do not let him kill them. And I'm telling you, God, I'm holding this to you. You cannot allow Satan to kill this person that he's persecuting. Because, you know, if you read about Job, you know, God does give Satan permission to torment you. But he says the bottom line is you cannot kill them. You can take them so far they wish they're dead, but you can't kill them. Amen. So fight. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the enemy when he comes. You don't have to bow your knee. You don't have to bow your knee. You can fight until he leaves you. You can push through that wall of darkness he's trying to surround you with. You have a right mind, right? Then you can fight. Now, there are people that Satan has so controlled that they really don't have their own mind. Those are the ones that you have to keep covered. Those are the ones that you have to stand in the gap for. But all you guys in here, you have your right mind. And maybe you don't. But I hope each one of you have your right mind, and so therefore you can fight. Instead of fighting people, why don't you fight the devil? Get the devil out of them. Do what's right. Do it God's way and not your flesh's way. That's why it's the atmosphere is so serious. This is a serious thing this morning. God is pleading for your soul right now. He wants to rain his righteousness down upon you so that you can be established and the enemy has no more sway over you. Now, are you ready to receive that reign of righteousness? Do you really, truly want to live with God, live for God with all of your heart? See, this is where a lot of people get in trouble. They really, truly don't want to give 100% of their self to God. They want to keep 95, 80 or something like that. You know. This morning, God wants every bit of you, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. He wants 100% of you and no more excuses. You've had enough teaching, and if you haven't, then get into some good Bible teaching and learn. But you've had good teaching this morning, and this is a start. So you can't say, well, I didn't know. You do know that you walk in righteousness. Now, do you really want God to rain righteousness down upon you? Once you've decided yes, then come to the altar, because that's what God's going to do this morning. And you're going to find once God rains this righteousness down upon you, that you won't have such a struggle staying right. God protects those whose mind is stayed on Him. Watch Shirley. Alan, get over and leave the chairs alone. Get over here. Somebody else can do the chairs. You catchers, just do your job. Come on. It's your vessel. It's your decision. You want to walk righteous from this day forward. You want to make sure that your name is in the Lamb's book of life. You want to make sure that one day you will sit in heavenly places. You. Only you can make this decision.